want to talk today about embracing our true identity. Too often we aren't sure of our identity, or we think we know our identity, but oftentimes we base that on the wrong perceptions or things that we've learned about ourselves, or that other people have told us about ourselves, and we start looking at those things and placing, trying to fit in that mold or perception. So on number A there on your papers, says, too often we look at ourselves with a critical eye and begin to evaluate our worth by all the things we haven't accomplished, mistakes we've made, and how we aren't on the most beautiful people list. We spend a great deal of time comparing ourselves to others, and most often we choose the best looking, most educated, and wealthy of our acquaintances to determine our value. We go to great lengths to find our place in life, and it seems that the harder we try to fit in, even excel, we fall way short in our eyes. We do that, don't we? We can't seem to stick between what the Word says and what Jesus says about us and get our value that way. We tend to get our value, and it starts way early. Even as an infant, it'll start there, and how our siblings treat and view us, our position in the family, how we perceive that our parents view us, and then it goes on to little friends that we have, and teachers, and it just goes on and on throughout our life, and we start to try to fit our identity into who we think others think we should be. And to be the most liked and loved, we start trying to perform. We start trying to look like a Barbie doll. We try to, in some way, fit in with somebody's view of what is good. And everybody does that to some extent or another. And I've met few people. I don't even know if I can think of one right now that have really gotten their value from the Lord and Him alone. And so we do that. We tend to look all around us and find our place. That was a real area of woundedness with me, is my place, that I've always felt like somebody's put me in my place, and I'm still struggling with a little bit of that right now. Just what is my place, you know, as a woman, someone who's not aggressive, someone who's a little bit shy and introverted. Well, I'm not. I don't have the shyness anymore, but I was seriously shy growing up, and I'm still a bit of an introvert. But I think that's okay. that's just I'm quiet that way. But those things, anybody that's more aggressive or more confident, or who I feel like looks like a person of authority, can quickly put me in my place. The Lord has really seriously protected me in that since He's been raising me up and having me teach and things like that. He's been so good to place me in a surrounding that people are kind. But if I know that if I get into a place, I already know that about me. If somebody, because I have family members that are like that have made it a point throughout my relationship with them to put me in my place. And I quickly submit to that. And the Lord's trying to weed that out of me. Number B there, we must adopt a new perspective. We got to start. We got to start looking. The perspective of who God created us to be, and know the power of the shed blood of Jesus to redeem and restore us in our intended place in the kingdom, exhibiting His nature and acts in whatever way He reveals through us. That is our true identity. It's our identity is who we are in Christ, right? We all know that. But to walk that out is a way different manner. We know a lot of truth in our lives, but we don't walk in a lot of truth. We walk in a lot of deception. We walk in a lot of believing lies I have spent like the majority of my life feeling small, less than, insignificant, anything but good, ugly, you know, just all these negative. I was just swamped with negative feelings about me, and had nothing of value. I mean, you would have thought that I had a horrible childhood, and I didn't. But the woundedness that my parents carried, and the relationships that I had, and my being shy and quiet, when you're shy and timid and that kind of thing, when you're easily squelched, people take advantage of that. Anybody that's insecure or has anger or aggressiveness will take advantage of, and kind of like you're a target. And so that just compounded all those negative feelings. Out of that, I raised up this identity of who I thought I was. And the Lord's been, for the last 10 years, taking me out of that and saying, no, this is who I say you are. That's not who I created you to be. And we need to embrace that. And it takes a complete mind renewal. It's a shift. I think I have actually come very close to having a brain transplant. It has been so profound in my head of the difference between who I was and who I am, who I really am. I mean, it's been like such a shift that I can't even, it's been hard. It's been hard to get my mind around it. But as I partner with the Lord and I keep saying yes to his healing, he's doing that shift in me in a way that it doesn't overwhelm. You know, it doesn't like all come on me at once, and he'll do that for you. He wants you to get it. He wants you to move forward with him, but he doesn't want to overwhelm you with it. And we could easily get overwhelmed with all that. In Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The image of God, that's his character, his personality, his heart. We have that God nature in us to love, to be kind, to create, to be gracious and merciful. Those kinds of things that are our Father's character and his heart, we are created in that image. We're to the extent that in the garden we walked with the Lord. They walked in complete unity with him. There was no conflict between God and man in that place. That's our original, the intent of which God created us. That capacity is still in us. Satan came in when we rebelled and wanted to us to think differently, to think in conflict with Father, to think outside of good. He wanted us to start thinking in rebellion and going a different path than what the Lord had planned for us. The word image involves both representation and manifestation. So we represented the Lord in that we had the same similar characteristics and abilities of how we react and act in our environment. And manifestation is how we manifest that presence, how we, as we walk along in life, how we are in relationship to God is how we're going to act, right? Now, you can put on a false front, but that false front, if you're just trying to be nice, but you're really an angry, vicious, condemning person, that effort on your part to act it is only, it's going to fail you eventually. You're not going to be able to, there's a difference between acting a part and being it. And the Lord wants to restore us to that place of being so that we're not acting. Does that make sense? He wants to restore the lie, you know, do away with the lies and deception of the enemy and who he's trying to tell us that we are. And the Lord wants to say, no, this is who I created you to be. And that's still within you. That possibility is still there. So let's go back there. Let's go back. We're taking a trip backwards into who he says we are, because that is the original format that God created us to stand in and walk in and be in. It is our original nature to be kind, to be loving, to manifest the presence of God. That's in our original. I find that very exciting. That's our original nature to love. God has the perfect love. He is perfect love. He is love. And so all that God is, we have that ability to love in that way. And God's love restores people, heals people, it builds people, it touches, it comforts, it does, can you imagine if we're all walking in that love that we're created to walk in? And the world would look a lot different, wouldn't it? It'd look way different. Ephesians 4, 23 through 24. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. And I didn't finish reading in number C here. The word image involves both representation and manifestation. We all know that because of the fall, mankind ceased to accurately reflect the image of God as was his original intent. In other words, we were meant to reflect the glory of God, which is his goodness. We need to get our focus off who we think we are not and on who he is. So we need to stop looking at all the knots, or I can't, or I'm not this and I'm not that. That will only serve to agree with the enemy. When we do that, we're agreeing with who Satan says we are. I mean, it's very simple. It's like we have this agreement with him that we're not good, or we're not smart, or we're not able to do that which God, we feel like the Lord's calling us to do. You know, when the Lord started calling me into teaching, I think a lot of you know, I seriously fought with him on that. I thought he got the wrong girl, for sure. I knew he had the wrong girl. I mean, all of my woundedness fought against that, to the extent that God really had to apprehend me. But he was kind in doing it. But it's been a process of turning that whole thing around and embracing who he says I am. And each one of you has woundedness, because the enemy knows the call on your life. He knows it. From the time you're conceived, that call is evident in your spirit. And the enemy can see that, and he's going to attack you in such a way to try and shut down who Jesus says you are, because he doesn't want you to walk in that. Because he knows that when you're walking in that, you're walking in the kingdom. You're taking the kingdom with you wherever you are. And when you start taking the kingdom with you, knowing that you're walking in the kingdom and you stand up in confidence and you're like ignoring the enemy, he doesn't want that, because then you're not out wounding others. And you're fighting against him and not on his behalf, you know, and he doesn't want that. So he's going to attack you from the time you're conceived on. He's going to try and get you to think opposite of who God says you are. So everything within me said, you absolutely are not a teacher. You absolutely have nothing to say of any value. And so the Lord had to just really, as I begin working with him in that area, and he began calling me, and at first seriously, this is, I'm ashamed to say, but I really thought, I don't know why, this is so dumb, but I thought God was joking. I really thought he was being funny. And I would laugh when I would hear him say, I'm calling you to teach. I would laugh. I would like, oh God, you're so funny. I would tell him that, you're so funny, you know. And I just thought he was teasing. And then when I got realized he was serious, I got scared. Because, like, and I started all this argument. And this went on for 2 or 3 years until I really started embracing, okay, I think I get it that you're serious. So you're going to have to do something with my head. Because my head is so not aligning up with who you say I am or what you're calling me to. And I so can't go there in this state. So that's what we need to do. We need to embrace that. We need to understand when we believe a lie, we need to recognize the lie, right? We all have them. Nobody's immune because we live in a fallen world, so we get affected. So the enemy he'll fight you when you start to rise up and recognize truth and you start to see who God says you are. And you start to make effort to move in that direction, the enemy's going to fight you. And I have found the fight to be kind of exhilarating because the fight just exposes more of my woundedness, which I can turn over to the Lord for truth. So actually, it's worked against him and for my good because God does that, doesn't he? He'll take what the enemy means for our harm. And he'll work it for our good, but we need to know how to partner with him to do that. So it's been a very interesting process. But God is winning in me. You know, he's winning. And in each of you, because each of us are on a journey. We're a process. And the Lord's heart for us, when he speaks truth to us, it heals. It absolutely heals. And his ability to heal you is far greater than the enemy's ability to destroy you. Redemption is powerful, powerful. We're going to talk about that in a minute. In Ephesians 4:23-24, and you have been renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God. Has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Wow. When you become a Christian, you have accepted, when we become a Christian, when we accept Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we say yes to him, at that point, we have said yes to the position that Christ bought and paid for us. He bought back our position with Father so that we have direct access, just like we had in the garden. We can have that direct access with Papa. And God, it never leaves us from that point on. It may feel like it. He may pull, he may be quiet. Like the Lord took me through a season, and I'm actually still in it somewhat. I used to hear, like when I started this journey 10 years ago, after about 2006 or so until about a year ago, I heard and saw at will. I mean, I could just hear the Lord anytime I wanted to, and I could see a vision just about anytime I wanted to. I mean, I had that serious free-flowing communication with him. And then about a year ago, that didn't shut off, but it, like, seriously slowed down. I couldn't see at will, and I had trouble hearing as clearly. The Lord was teaching me something there. So when he does that, he's not pulling back. You're not being punished. He's saying, okay, now come a little closer. I want you to pull into me a little closer because I want to teach you something here. And so it's not that he's angry. It's not that he's bumping it up a little bit. You know, he wanted me to pull in closer to him. And in that, the thing that I'm learning is that something that we're going to talk about next week is walking in the presence of God, living in the presence of God. So in that, there's things that he revealed to me about who I am in relationship to him. And it just changed. It looks different. but it's way better than what I had, even though I was hearing and seeing. I thought that was pretty good. But I'm finding that this place that I'm in now is even better because of the deeper revelation that I have. So the Lord, you know, he'll change things, but he's constantly working on our behalf, on our heart, to move us into position closer to him, of a place of no conflict, a place of unity, right? On number D there, the mind is truly where circumcision takes place. And we're going to read about that in the next verse, but the mind is truly where circumcision takes place. It is absolutely vital that we come to a place where we recognize the difference between lies and truth. We must pursue renewal, the effort on our part to come into agreement with truth, because it creates unity with Jesus. Mind renewal is something that we have to pursue. It takes effort. And that happens the more you press into relationship with the Lord. He'll bring these things, he'll bring things up to you. He'll expose lies that you believe. And but it's not about, you know, we think of relationship sometimes. In the church that I was raised in, relationship consisted of having a devotional every day and going to church every Sunday and being good and those kinds of things. The relationship that the Lord is after, I mean, those things are all good. They're not bad. But what he's after is heart connection. He wants you to know him. Relationship is knowing. It's unity. It's harmony. It's fellowship. Those kinds of things. That's what will grow you. That's where the Lord can say, Londa, you know what? You're doing awesome. But I just want to encourage you in this area to take a look here. Lord just did that to me recently. This whole thing about place. Trying to think of what day this is. Sunday, isn't it? Saturday, I had a vision with the Lord, and I saw him. I mean, I walked into this room, and he was standing at the head of this long table, and I couldn't see the end of the table. It just stretched out to where I couldn't see the end of it. And he was standing there, and he had a cloth in his hand, and he held out the cloth, and he just unfurled it like you would a tablecloth when you're going to lay it on a table. And I would do that, except he didn't have a microphone in his hand, and it worked better for him. But anyway, he rolled out this tablecloth, and it just billowed over the table and just laid down perfectly. And as it laid down, there were place settings that began to lay down with the cloth, and mounds of cover, beautiful serving dishes that I knew were laden with food. And this table was just exquisite. I mean, it had everything, flowers and candles and very, very elaborate, beautiful place settings, and it was stunning just to even look at. And I was so excited because I thought, I get to sit at the banqueting table. And Jesus had this big smile on his face and very welcoming. And I walked over and I touched a chair. And as soon as I touched the chair, I felt myself being yanked. I feel these things when I see like that. And I felt myself being yanked out of that vision. And it was like I was in a wormhole and I was going backwards. And I was like, I can remember I was seeing this banqueting table and Jesus standing there smiling. And I am like being sucked out of it going, no, you know. And I plopped down in a little child's chair. And I look around and I'm in this shanty, like a shack that is poorly made. It's falling apart. The table is a little wooden handmade child's table with little chairs, and there's no paint anywhere in the shack. Nothing that could be even considered nice, let alone beautiful. And it had a little tea set on the table, and it was cracked and chipped and had no, it was plain color and had no decoration or anything. And on the plates were these little dried up biscuits that looked like they'd been there a long time, very uninviting. And I sat there, and for all day that Saturday, all I could do was weep. It just brought up such anguish in me because I couldn't figure out, as much inner healing as I've done, and I have been aggressive. A lot of you know that. As much as I've done with it, I have trouble. I can see the issue, but I can't figure out what I believe. Takes me a while to figure out what I believe. So that whole day, every time I look at the picture, and every time I close my eyes, I see the picture. I can't get it. I can't get what I'm believing there. I realize that for some reason I believe that I'm not to be at the banqueting table, that this is what I deserve, but I can't figure out what it is. And I finally, because I've worked on this a lot before, I've worked on this place. And so what I finally found that evening was that I believed that that was my place. And it was what I was talking about earlier. All my life, everybody's put me in my place. And I believe that that was my place, that I didn't belong. So it was a placement issue where others have told me that I belong rather than where Jesus says I belong. And when I invited him to speak into that and heal that place, I like zoomed right back and was at the banqueting table. And this time I was sitting down. And it was like, and the Lord is like this for every one of us. I'm not an exception. We were sitting at the table, and I knew that the table was full of people, but it's like he reached out his hands and he grabbed mine, and it was like he had eyes only for me. And that's the way you are when you sit at his table. He's got eyes only for you. You know, you're the object of his affection. So, So that's just an example of where my mind was hindering me. Now that placement would keep me from walking into a place where the Lord says I belong, because it wouldn't be line up where I think I belong. So you can see how that would hinder me from going forward. In Colossians 2:3-15, it says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. The enemy, when we sinned in the garden, the enemy from that point on had judgment. We were under judgment. And there were decrees and judgments against us. When Jesus came, he nailed those to the cross. So the enemy can no longer, when we accept Christ Jesus, we pass through his blood and we're cleansed, and the enemy can no longer use those against us. And we have to do our part in that. We can't walk in rebellion. We can't walk in willful sin, because then we're putting Jesus back on the cross, aren't we? We're saying, you know, I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to do what I want to do. And you've just put him right back on the cross. So on our part, though, when we're walking in relationship, when we're trying, he just wants our yes. That's all the Lord's after. It's just our yes. And just to grow in love in him. When we're doing that, then those decrees are done. There is no judgment against us. I mean, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's done. In the spirit realm, it is done. Done, done, done. We need to come into agreement. Our minds need to come into agreement with what's been done. So we've been reinstated back into who Father, that all that judgment that separated us from the Father, that's all been nailed to the cross. Now we have that free access to go directly to God the Father through Jesus. And so we need to start then walking in who he says we are, not who we were, not who the enemy says we are, what we think does not determine truth. It doesn't. What we think does not determine truth. God alone determines truth. And when our thinking lines up with him, then we're standing in that truth. And we can go boldly forward and conquer the next lie. You know, we need to get him out of there. Transgression is rebellion. The enemy used our rebellion as a certificate of debt against us. Satan wants us to focus on who we were and goes to great lengths of deception to keep us from knowing who we are. We will act out that which we believe for good or bad. So whatever is in your mind, whatever you believe who you are, that's how you're going to manifest eventually. You can only control yourself to a point. You know, that's why people who have drug addictions, that's a good example, that drug or pornography addiction, any addiction, you'll do your best to stand away from that. You'll do your best to walk away from it. And if the root of that addiction is not gone, it will at some point grab you again. It'll wait until you're in a weak moment and it will grab you again. So that's who the enemy says you were. Who Jesus says you are is free from that. And so your mind has to come into agreement, full agreement. And we're complicated. We have our minds, because we are created in the image of God. We use consciously a small part of our mind. Subconsciously, our mind is, there's far more there than what we realize, and we get complicated. So we bury hurts, and we put walls of protection around us. And so the Lord wants to break those down, because he wants us to walk in victory, because he's bought that victory for us. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5 and 11. Surely he's borne. So these are the things that Jesus nailed to the cross, right? I'm just going to read the highlighted ones. Griefs, which are sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, our sorrows and pains of punishment, our transgressions, which is our rebellion, our guilt and iniquities, which is our sin. And by his stripes, we are healed. And in verse 11, it says, about in the middle of the verse, it says, my servant will justify many and make many upright, righteous, upright in right standing with God, because he is bearing their iniquities and their guilt, our sin and the guilt that goes with it. Jesus, every negative thing, every curse that the enemy ever put on us and spoke over us because of the fall, Jesus nailed it to the cross. He paid the price, even for our punishment, and even the chastisement for our peace was upon him. So he even paid for our peace, so that we can have peace with the Lord. We need to walk in that. That's victory. Total, complete victory. We need to know that we're not under that condemnation. So why is it we live like that? Why is it we live in negativity? Why is it do we live in fear? Fear's huge with us. Why do we fear? Why can we not trust the Lord? Why do we, you know, I ask myself all these things all the time. Why, you know, what am I feeling? What do I believe that would cause me not to trust God in this place? What do I, you know, how can I get out of this place of self-condemnation? Or how can I, you know, what do I believe? It's what you believe about you that keeps you in those places. So when you find that belief, just offer it to Jesus and say, what do you think? What's your truth? What do you want me to know? And listen. Spend a lot of time listening. You need to sit with the Lord. Invest in him, because he wants to invest in you. And when he speaks to you, his words are so pure and holy, and truth heals. It restores. It builds you up. It grows you. It confirms you. It gives you your place. You know, we've gone through a real hard year, really hard year, as a family. And a lot of you know that, and I've shared it. But for months, we didn't have an income. We almost lost our daughter. She nearly died. We've had other personal issues that have severely affected the family. Plus, we have, in our family, between our two girls, we have five boys ranging from 14 to 21. So you can imagine the drama that goes on there. And in that, I have been at total peace through all of it. It's been amazingly God. I just have this confidence in the Lord that I can't explain. It's been an amazing, awesome thing to walk in, because it's so comforting. It's so complete. And I trust his faithfulness. I trust him. And even to the point of, I didn't even care if we lost our house and everything. I couldn't get past how awesome God is. And I kept just confirming him. And the Lord one time said to me, because I was like, God, do I not believe you? And because of my physical things I deal with, I'm like, God, do I not believe you enough? Can I not trust enough? Can I not be good enough? Can I not believe enough? Can I not teach enough? Can I not get it? And he one time he goes, he took me to Job, and he goes, where Job's three friends said to him, the fourth friend said, Job, I'm angry with your three friends because they, you were righteous in your own eyes and they didn't know what to say to you. And I'm angry at you because you justify yourself and not God. And that was like a knife that went through me. And from that point on, I committed to justifying God in every circumstance of my life and not myself. Not standing and saying, but God, you know, I'm a good person, or I did this, or I, you know. And I refuse to accept anyone that would tell me that God is unjust, that he's not working on my behalf, that he doesn't love me, or that I'm being punished, or I must have done something wrong, or our family, he's trying to teach us a lesson, or not that the Lord doesn't take us through some hard times to teach us things. He absolutely will, but it's not punishment, and it's for our good, and he will bring you out on the other side. If you keep saying yes to him, he will restore beyond that which you were able, and above and beyond what you expected. We didn't miss a bill. We haven't missed a bill. We've been so blessed by the body here. They have poured into us, and family that has poured into us. And last week we got a job. And next week, we're going to get a job that we very much wanted. So the Lord is good. And he brought us through that storm in a place of confidence and peace. And he wants to do that for every person. Every person. I don't care what is going on in your life. The circumstance is not greater than God. The enemy's ability to take you out or tear you down, you have to agree with that before he can do it, right? You have to agree with the enemy. He is not more powerful than God. He's not. You have to know that. So we want to say no to him, yes to the Lord, and let the Lord work it out for our good. He will. Number E, there is nothing that God left out. All debt was paid, and we are justified and put in right standing with God. God is the one that justifies us. He's the one that puts us in our place, and it's always good. When he puts you in your place, it's good. He might do a little correcting, a little exhorting, or, you know, he might, but that's good too. Because that's moving you into saying, he's saying, this is not who I say you are, and you need to stop looking at it and believing it. And I want you to look at this and believe this. This is who I say you are. It's just a shift in focus is all he's trying to get you to do. The sooner we say yes to that, the easier it is. There's less trial when as soon as you say yes, it's like God's like, okay, I can turn this around now. In John 17:20-25, Jesus right here is praying, and he's praying in the first part of this chapter. He's praying between himself and the Lord and the Father, thanking him that they are one, that God has given him glory, and just thanking God for all that he's done. Then he goes on to pray for his disciples between them and the Lord, and that they would be one as Jesus is one. But I love this in verse 20 here. It starts, and he's praying for us. I love the switch here that he makes. He goes, I do not ask on behalf of these alone. He's talking about the disciples. But for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me, loved them even as you loved me. There's a couple of key things in here that I want you to see. It says, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. We have the same unity with Father that Jesus does. He bought that for us. That's what we were created for, to have that kind of unity. It's the same unity. The Lord's in you, and you're in the Lord. You are one with him. He says also, He says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them. That glory is all the faculties and the powers. So our glory is the faculties and the powers of being created in the image of God. It's his goodness, our ability to manifest his goodness. God's glory is his goodness. He's good. He's good. In all that he is, he's good. There is not anything about God the Father, even in his judgments and in his anger, he is good. Because his anger is righteous always. His judgments are perfect. So there is nothing out of line or imperfect about God. So it's all good. So his good, he is really good. And so that we don't have a word to describe the glory of God, but it is pure and holy, perfect in every way, without flaw. So when Jesus gives us that glory that Father gave him, is because Jesus perfectly manifested the presence of God. He did that in such a way that it brought God great glory, because Jesus manifested God's nature. And we're created to do that very thing. The same. How awesome is that? That's your place. That's our place. And it's not something we act out. It's something we are. It's who you are. I mean, you were created to be that. And Satan can't take that away from you unless you say yes to him. See, we need to stop. Any negative thing you believe about yourself is detracting from who God says you are. And it will keep you from walking in that place. And when we compare ourselves against another individual, another person, we always choose somebody richer, better looking, has a better voice, can speak more eloquently, I used to compare myself, oh my goodness, to Bill Johnson, until the Lord told me just to stop, because, he was tired of hearing it. I did. I chose somebody that's way out there, very well known. I chose one of the best. When he speaks, every word, every sentence is loaded, and it takes you a week to unpack it. And so I chose the best. We all do that. We'll choose somebody that we know, either personally or out there somewhere, and that's who we're going to compare ourselves. Well, we've automatically set ourselves up for defeat in our eyes. What does that do? That really justifies what you're already thinking about yourself. You've just exposed what you think about yourself. So I would encourage you to, when you catch yourself doing that, to take another look and compare yourself to Jesus and what he's already done for you and who he says you are. Because the other is a lie and a deception, and you need to walk in truth. Need to really believe who you are. Each one of you are packed with the fullness of God. You just need to let it out. You need to stand up and open yourself up and say, Jesus, just expose me and help me to see with your eyes who I am. Just sit with him and let him pour into you who he says you are. Each one of you has a call and a purpose. They're not all the same. They're all different. But every single call, even if it's a gift of helps, or a quiet behind-the-scenes call, that is just as powerful and vital to the kingdom as Bill Johnson's call or Mike Bickle's call or Heidi Baker. It's just as vital. There's a vital part to that only you can fill. It's tailor-made for you and your giftings. And there's no shame in it. Can't be, because Jesus chose it for you. And all that you do is a reflection of him. He came to serve. He said, I came as your servant. That's no higher calling than serving. Number F, Jesus restored our place with God. Complete unity. We are one with God. In that place of unity, the place that we are perfected as individuals and as the church. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? In that verse, the literal translation there should be sanctuary. You are the sanctuary, the holy of holies of the Lord Most High. In the Old Testament, the priest couldn't step into the Holy of Holies unless he was purified. Otherwise, he'd be dead. Jesus did that for us so that the very Spirit of God dwells in our bodies. You're his temple. He never leaves you unless you boot him out. He's always there. Even in your worst circumstance, we tend to pull away from him because we start to get offended. I mean, we've had great opportunity to be offended this year. I'm sure all of you have had great opportunities to be offended in your life, if not this year, last year. You know, we're always faced with choices. Be careful what you choose. Are you going to pick up offense towards the Lord or another person? Or are you going to justify him in that place and say, I know that you're good here. I know that you're good here, and I'll trust you with all that I am. I trust you to lead me into victory. That's powerful, because what you're doing is calling for that which you do not see and calling it into existence and believing for it You're not being presumptuous. You're just trusting Jesus for who he is and what he's already promised you in his word. You're standing on the word. Anytime you stand on scripture, rightly divided, rightly interpreted, and you stand on the word of God, there's great power in it because his word does not return void. It's truth. It can't help but change things for you because he spoke it. It's true. Embrace the life in it for you to do that which you are unable to do. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, all of us with unveiled face, because we continued to behold. This says continued. We continue to behold. It's process. We continue with unveiled face. So take off the veils. That's lies and deceptions. Take off the veil. Ask the Lord to give you clear eyes to see clearly. Continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. You are in an amazing process of being transformed into the very likeness of Christ. How amazing is that? I mean, it doesn't get any better. His goodness, as you behold him, his goodness does a mighty work in you. Most of us, you know, don't appreciate the process. The process seems long and slow and hard. And it is sometimes. We want our hamburgers now. But in the process, the Lord is building serious foundation in you. It takes time to transform the mind because we are so complicated. You know, the Lord could just zap us, but he enjoys walking out life with us. He enjoys being father and fathering us. He enjoys being teacher and teaching us and healer and healing us. He enjoys the relationship, all of it, all parts of it. And he works in us in such a way that draws our hearts to him in a place of love that will transform you into who he says you are, so that you can stand in your place in confidence, the place that he created you to stand in confidence. I want you to just read with me. Could you put up Colossians 3? Is that going to work? Yes, no? Yeah? Okay, awesome. 3:9. In this scripture, I'm just going to read through it, but in this scripture, it talks about this very thing, and it talks about the things that, what happens when we're circumcised. It talks about the nature of God that is wanting to come through us, who we are. That same nature that we have in us is wanting to come through. So this scripture spells it out real well. Getting my tongue tied. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. How awesome. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Same Jesus in all of us. We all have the same opportunities to arise and be victorious in him. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy, you are holy and beloved. Put on a heart of, okay, now here's where the heart of God is. Here's the character of God that's going to come through. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Love will bind you to the Lord and to each other. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love heals. Love comforts. It's all about love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. So be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed. So this is the manifesting. This is where we manifest the presence of God, the glory of God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We are in a beautiful process of transformation into the very likeness of Jesus. Embrace the process and take joy in the hope of glory. Because Christ Jesus has shared his glory with us, we must be aware that we are meant to be the manifest expression of the glory of Jesus. We are a display of his goodness, his grace, love, mercy, humility, kindness, etc. Our minds need to come into the revelation of what Jesus has already done for us. Then we will walk in confidence in the identity he has given us. I just want to pray for you. I just thank you for sitting in with me. I love this relationship with the Lord is my heart. And I want to empower you to embrace that relationship to the full extent possible. You know, I want to walk like Enoch walked. I want to walk like Moses. I want that. And I know you do too. And I just want to encourage you that it's possible. So, Father, I just lift up this group of people and I thank you for them. God, I ask that you just continue to bring revelation and transformation to each person here. Lord, I ask that you highlight their path and their journey and give them eyes to see and ears to hear your heart for them. That your truth would penetrate their hearts in such a way that the darkness pales in comparison, Lord. That we are reminded every time we make a choice of what we believe or what rises up in our hearts, God, that the choice is wise, filled with love and confidence in you. I just speak blessing over each and every one of you in your relationship with Jesus. Amen.